Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion, it's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made to last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Out here on the San Mateo coast, the fog rolls in and covers everything. It can make the world feel a little mysterious, a little hidden. And in a way, that's how a lot of us feel about our food system. We know it's out there, but the real stories, the people behind the produce, can get lost in the mist. I'm your host, Ranger Kelak. I'm an ag educator, a business coach, and a future farmer myself. And I'm obsessed with pulling back that curtain. This is The Foggy Farmer, the podcast where we get to know the growers, ranchers, and innovators who are shaping the future of agriculture right here on the coast and beyond. We're here to dig into their stories, learn from their hard-won wisdom, and highlight the incredible work being done to build a more resilient and connected food system. So grab a cup of coffee and let's get to know the people who feed us. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everybody, and welcome to today's episode of the Foggy Farmer Podcast. I'm your host, Coach Ranger. I am a coach, a consultant, and a agricultural advocate based right here in the San Mateo County coastside in Half Moon Bay. And in today's episode, as this is the first real episode, other than just the trailer that we have already posted, I just want to give you a quick background of who I am, how I got into the agriculture industry, where I'm at now, and my plans for the future, and to really set the tone for who I am as the host of this show and as the Foggy Farmer. So my ag roots started back when I was in elementary school. Neither my mom or my dad were really in the ag industry. My dad's been a longtime postman, and my mom's had a bunch of different jobs through child development, as well as some electrical engineering work in Modesto. But really, my dive into it started in 4-H when I was just a little kid. I raised pygmy goats, I raised chickens, I had a small dog project, and my very first presentation I shared at Toastmasters this morning, actually, was about homemade Play-Doh. So it really just got me into the world of ag, gave me like a little bit of a taste of what the industry would look like. And I got a whole lot more of that once I got to high school. So going up into high school, I was homeschooled. And when I joined high school or got enrolled into high school, I joined the Future Farmers of America. If you see my ring on my right hand ring finger, that is my national FFA organization ring. I kind of consider that my class ring. I've worn it every day since I graduated in 2015. But really, my time in the FFA and the Future Farmers of America really just honed in my own personal interest and desire to learn more about the industry. from my very first competition on the livestock judging team to starting the veterinary science team at my high school. It really just made me realize how intricate and detailed the food system is and how broad the agriculture industry is. I did a whole bunch of speaking contests. I was the chapter president my senior year, and all of that just really developed an inborn fondness for the ag industry as a whole. Going into college, I attended UC Davis, and I originally went to the animal science major in order to eventually be a small or large animal veterinarian. During high school, one of my big projects was at the large animal vet services in the town that I grew up. I learned very quickly that animal science as a major is a lot more science than animal, that I was going to be spending a lot more time in labs, chemistry, calculus, biology than I thought I would be, which is a little bit silly considering that I was going to school to be a doctor. So a lot of time in the lab and in these difficult courses made a lot of sense, but it made me realize that that isn't really the route I want to go down. One of my big dreams was to always own my own veterinary practice and own my own clinic. So I kind of pivoted because I realized, you know, I took some food science courses or food systems, soil science, ag marketing, sales, etc. And I just wanted something a little bit more broad within the ag industry. So I ended up majoring with a bachelor's of science in agricultural economics. And I just took as many other ag courses as I could and as many agricultural experiences as there were available to me, which at UC Davis, there's a ton. I actually did some marketing work with TEDx UC Davis, the speaking organization. I'm helping out with getting the word out there. I did some journalism work for a little bit. And then in terms of the agricultural side, and that was more the communications work, which podcasting now makes sense. In terms of the agricultural side, you know, I lived at the avian facility for a year with one of my best friends, Steven. If you listen to my Walk Across America series on the Never Peak project, he's the one that would interview me about my experience on the walk a few times. I got really deep into poultry, really, really deep into the sciences and understanding their systems. I volunteered with the local 4-H chapter in Yolo County for a couple years, teaching those students how to show, take care of, and just really appreciate poultry and chickens. So that was really, really rewarding. I also worked a little bit at the sheep and beef unit, about a quarter each. And then I spent a summer working for the Russell Ranch Sustainable Agriculture Project, where they had 101 acre plots where they were doing different commodities, a lot of monocropping and monoculture, but just different systems. So no-till, some-till, organic, conventional, to just really see what that does to soil over time, how that can degrade the soil in some cases or boost soil microbial activity. And that was analyzed through the SCAL Soil Microbial Biology Lab, which I spent about 2 years also working in. So I got to see the actual research side, the production side, and the what are we going to do with this information side. So that was really, really cool. And around that same time, I started working for an interning at the Agricultural Issues Center, which is the Ag Economics Department at UC Davis under Dr. Daniel Sumner, where I was doing a cannabis study, actually. That was right around the time that cannabis recreationally was legalized in California. So I was on the team just scraping data off of different cannabis sourcing sites in California to see how that change in price happens over time, which was really, really interesting. Of course, with more regulations, it was going up. It was kind of, when it first started, everything went up, then went down and up. It was just really interesting to see how we could actually take this data from a open source site and compile it down into something useful. And during that time, I was also working on the cost studies at UC Davis. And what's really, really cool about the cost studies is it is really just a holistic deep dive approach to seeing how much it really costs to start, maintain, and manage various different cropping systems across the state. So I was doing things like, for an example, Monterey County 2015 pricing guide for artichokes or asparagus. And we would go to different trade shows to really see, well, how much does it cost to buy a new tractor? How much does it cost to run that tractor on 100 acres? And it really creates this narrative style to help people understand how these costs and investments change over time. And then I worked at something called the Walnut Improvement Program, where I didn't meet my fiance, but we both worked there. She got me a job there for about a quarter or two. And again, that was just really cool to see a different commodity in practice and really seeing how UC Davis and other universities compile and take in information and do something useful with it. So I also worked at HM Klaus, which is a huge seed company based in Davis. They have a few other main bases, but I was on the processing tomato team as well as the intellectual property team. And again, that was just a really cool way to see the innovation and research going into the ag industry. I feel like a lot of people look at farmers or think when they think of a farmer, they think of the ag industry, they think of a bunch of country bumpkins that are just out there throwing stuff at the ground, seeing what comes up, and then spraying a whole bunch of pesticides, when really that's not the case. There's a lot of research, a lot of money and information that goes into it. And really these ag researchers, educators, and producers really are intelligent. They really have, you know, a lot of them have degrees, a lot of them have a lot of information, very specialized information that makes the industry go further and faster. After college, I graduated in December of 2019, got hit by COVID pretty quick. I had a couple really cool job opportunities lined up, but COVID kind of wiped those out. A lot of it in research or education, event planning. Worked at a reptile store for a few months, and the reptile store was actually really cool because it made me realize how much I really enjoy exotic pets. I still have quite a few right now, but it really helped me own my sales and communication skills. Then eventually I worked at a couple of vineyards over in Yolo County as a junior estate manager for one, and then another one I was on the agronomy side helping do land surveys. So I was doing, you know, tasting room, landscaping, sales, marketing for one, pesticide applications as well. And then in the other one, I was doing a lot of field scouting as well as working in the tasting room. So again, just really deep into that industry. And throughout that time, just again, remembering how intricate every single industry is, how interconnected everything is, how prices in grapes affect the wine industry, affect the jelly industry, affect this, and how much all these inputs really do cost and what it affects later on down the road. My next ag job after working in the wine industry was as a county ag inspector in Stanislaus. I was on the pesticide use enforcement team, and I was there for 2 full years. And that was really, really cool because I got to see, again, a whole different side of the ag industry on the regulatory side. I'm really understanding how the California Code of Regulations, well, Title III of the California Code of Regulations, affects producers on a day-to-day basis. It's not just the government coming down with all these made-up rules. Something that I really like to say and remind myself when I was on the job and tell growers when I was inspecting them was every single regulation is written in blood. There is a reason that these regulations are here. Somebody got hurt, injured, or even died because of issues or mistakes that happened in the field. So really what we want to do on that regulatory side is prevent mistakes and issues from happening. Whether that's OSHA, California EPA, federal EPA, or even the County Ag Commissioner, we're all here to protect the grower, the applicator, their neighbors, the environment, and the animals that are within that range, really. So that was also really unique. And then after that, I did my walk across America, where I walked from South Carolina to California, raised money about almost $10,000 for a few different organizations. And that was really unique and rewarding, helped me realize that, again, we all seem so different in our day-to-day, but we're all driven by the same few desires, really. I think a lot of it really does tie down to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. All of us want to have a good life. All of us want to live within our own communities and do something greater and bigger than ourselves. So there's a whole lot there that I learned. I will link everything into the Never Peak Project and the Within Range Coaching Podcast where I was doing my walk across America down in the show notes so that you can check that out and get a little bit of an idea of the other big projects that I've done. And that lands me to now. I finished up my walk in August of 2024, and now I am in beautiful Half Moon Bay. I do have a day job still working with the local Chamber of Commerce, but now I'm really focused in on building up my business Within Range Coaching, where I coach nonprofit leaders, business leaders, next people that really want to reach that next peak in their life
as they battle, you know, the sabotaging voice, that inner critic, overcome challenges in their day-to-day, really help them see things from different perspectives so that they can be creative in overcoming obstacles. Now, I've also been doing a lot more of business coaching and consulting with the Renaissance Center, as well as the Merced Small Business Development Center. And what I really love about that is just seeing these entrepreneurs build their business, right? Like, I really truly believe that every entrepreneur goes into business to make the world a better place. And I get to just see that on a day-to-day basis. And what I've also realized during this whole process is I was really trying to get away from the ag and farming industry. I don't know if that was just like an internal block or just I thought I had to in order to pursue life or business coaching, because I really do enjoy that. I love putting on programs. I love doing workshops. I love teaching people, being around them, being in community. But I was listening to a book called Dirt to Soil by Gabe Brown. And what I really loved about it was it reminded me and made me realize like all of these lessons that we apply to sustainable agriculture, regenerative systems, organic, even on the conventional side, all facets of the ag industry really can be applied to our lives. Are we doing a churn and burn model where we just go, 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 and just focus on one piece of our life? Or do we do this more regenerative model where we really focus on building up the base level of who we are and who we want to become, utilizing different systems, utilizing different people in our community, or just different aspects of our life to build something beautiful? A lot of that really just stems down to being aware of the way that things could be rather than getting so caught up in how we think things should be. And that's why my future goals really are based around bringing more people to the land, bringing more people not just to nature, but to agriculture. A lot of people see agriculture as man versus nature. And I really, really believe that the best way to do it is man with nature, working with this greater system, working with this thing that's been here for millions and millions and millions of years to cultivate food for us, to really nourish our body, soul, and mind. I think that really is the key to creating a stronger, more equitable food system, a stronger, more equitable community, and just a stronger, more equitable life. That's why my future goal is to create something, a sustainable farm, either here in the coastside or nearby, that is really focused on bringing people together. The project name that I have in mind is Growth Point Farms. And really what I want to create with Growth Point is a community hub where we're growing food. You know, we have row crops, we have greenhouses, we have this huge just example of how you can farm regeneratively and profitably, that we're able to go to farmers markets. We're able to have a community supported ag CSA program where people can get fresh fruit and veggies delivered straight to their door from a local farm. That's not, you know, 200-300 miles away, but you know, 10-15 miles down the road. Like, it doesn't get much fresher than that. While we're growing these fruits and veggies, we're also cultivating happy animals, chickens, goats, sheep, horses, cattle, just all of these different animals really working in tandem to create a better ecosystem, really including livestock in the management of our soils and our fruits and veggies in our soil in the growing, raising, and husbandry of these animals. It's really just that beautiful regenerative model where it's a polyculture, not just monocropping. Like, we have the full system of crop rotations and cover crops and people working together with the environment and the land as opposed to against it. Now, that is the setting of Growth Point Farms. And really what I want to create at the farm is a community where I'm able to meet with people, you know, Friday morning where they're renting out different spaces on the farm. And I get to tell the local yoga instructor, hey, you have the West Garden Saturday and Sunday. Have fun, do whatever. Okay, now the ecotherapy gal is on the back 40 in the more forested area, and she's doing a nature and forest bath with people. You know, I don't have that training or certification. I don't really want to get those certifications, honestly, but I want to have a space where people can, like, they can get out into nature. They can understand what's going on with their food system, how all of this works. And in order to get there, I am still looking to partner with other local farms here in the California coastside. I just spoke with a couple recently, and it looks like one of them is very, very promising on getting a small slice of land for my own workshops. What I'm going to be doing is what I call growth workshops, G-R-O-W-T-H. Each of them stands for a different project and workshop that we would be doing. But the general idea is we bring out this group of entrepreneurs, you know, people that are doing great work in their own business or in a business that they work in, but they just feel burnt out. They're not making as much as they want. They're not making as large of an impact as they think they can. And I want to bring them to the land. I want to remind them of the lessons that we can learn from really getting your hands in the dirt, in the soil, and cultivating something. So for example, bring them out to Growth Point Farms and say, you know, the mission of our farm is X, Y, and Z. And then if you really want to dig out a weed, if you want to get it out of here, you got to dig it out by the roots. Because if you don't pull out a weed by the roots, it's just going to come back and it's going to stay. And then bring them into the classroom and say, remember how the farm has a mission statement? That's what drives all of our decisions and how we decide to change things up or do new things or maintain certain behaviors. What is your mission statement? What values do you have? How do you decide what you're going to do? And then say, remember how we were talking about roots and how if you want to remove a weed, you have to dig it out by the roots? Same thing with the problems in our own life. If we don't get to the root of the issue, we're not going to be able to pull it out and plant something better in our lives. And that's what I really want to create with Growth Point Farms in the future. And where this podcast comes into play is I want to share of the stories of the producers, of the researchers, of the people in the ag industry that are already out there doing this amazing work. They're already out there literally in the thick of it, building a better food system. The people behind the produce, the individuals, the families behind the harvest, right? So I want to bring on people that are in the research field here in the San Mateo area or the land grant universities, UC Davis, et cetera, speakers, just people that are, again, specialized in one area that they can really tell us how things really work so that we that are so disconnected from the ag industry in San Mateo County and the San Francisco area can understand what is going on with our food system. How does it actually work? And then, of course, I want the actual producers that are here, boots in the mud, growing food in San Mateo County, bringing to the local farmers markets, bringing it into the San Francisco Peninsula's As Fresh As It Gets program. I want those people to be the ones that have a voice that can tell us what's going on in their backyard. And of course, I want to learn from them. I want to see the things that I should know. And that's where my real curiosity comes in. And I hope that you, the listener, shares that same innate curiosity so that we can get deeper and plant better roots for a better system for years to come. I hope that gives you a good idea of who I am, my background, where I currently stand, and of course, where we're going. But if you are ready for the journey and you want to be a part of it, I am looking to bring more folks on this ride and really build this community here in San Mateo County. So if you would like to be reminded every time that we upload to the podcast, I'm moving towards having weekly uploads. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast and leave a rating and review. The more ratings we have, the better that we will be able to expand our reach and get into more people's ears. If you are able to send this to a friend that would be interested in learning more about our food system, that would be fantastic. And if you want to join the waitlist for these growth programs, the link will be down in the description in the show notes so that you can be notified as soon as we start doing the beta programs and pilot systems for the Growth Point Farms tours and experiences. The first ones will be hosted with partner farms here in the San Mateo County coastside, so San Gregorio, Pescadero, Half Moon Bay. And again, really what I want to do is bring people out to the farm so that they can experience what it's like to get your hands in dirt, see the sights and smell the smells of being on a working farm to reinvigorate you and help you find more creative solutions to the problems in your life so that you can make more money, have a deeper connection with your family, and of course, make a better future. That is all that I have for today. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. Again, the best ways that you can support the show and the mission of the Foggy Farmer podcast is to leave it a rating and review, share it with a friend, and sign up for the wait list for the Growth Point Farms food tours that will be happening shortly. Thank you so much for listening, and until next time, remember to keep it fresh, keep it local, and keep it foggy. I'll see you guys in the next episode. Thank you.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future, because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts, so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.